Bibles, if you would, to the book of Psalms and keep it open today. We're going to go several places, but I want to begin in Psalms chapter 116. Before I do, want to say something. While you're listening on air, some of these things I've mentioned before, but this week we'll be having our midweek service on Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night. We always do that the week of Thanksgiving to allow people to travel and be with their families. I always love the season of Thanksgiving and time of Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays because people has not figured out how to commercialize it. And it is one, and I realize that people said, well, we're not allowed to have more than eight people in our houses and all that. But, you know, let me say something, and people may take this wrong, but you can take it however you want. But I want to say a couple things real quickly. I had some people say, well, are you all going to have church? I had somebody send me a request. Another preacher asked me this morning, are you all going to have church this morning? I said, yes. And I'm going to tell you why. Two, three reasons. One is we live in a country that our forefathers came together and they wrote one of the most impressive documents ever written. They wrote it because of oppression that they had suffered under a king. They also wrote it depending upon the word of God. It's a dangerous time when you get where one man can just pull something out of the air and say, this is what you can do and you can't do. You can't have no more than eight people in your house. Well, where did number eight come from? How about nine? Ten? Also the fact our forefathers had the wisdom where if we were going to live with laws, then they made a government that was representative of the people, that if we didn't like the lawmakers and laws they made, we could vote them out. And they come together as a group to make a law, not just one individual person. Brother Junior read, and I'm going to just read it for you again this morning. Now I want you to listen just a moment. Solomon, as he is going into the house that he's built for God, he said this in verse 13. God said this to Solomon. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, by the way. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now we hear that verse a lot in relationship to revival. But listen, verse 15. Now my eyes shall be open, my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Science that does not recognize God is fake science.
That's right. Amen.
What I want you to understand is this. I know the mask, social distancing, and all those things. I do those things myself where I feel it's applicable and necessary. But as the scripture just revealed, I think it's more important for the people of God to be in the house of God in a time when pestilence is roaming our land and has covered our land. I think it's time that we be here praying, lifting our voices up unto God. And I think that's more important than masking, social distancing, and everything else you want to throw in there. I believe God sends pestilence and he can remove pestilence. I believe God can put a hedge around people when he wants to put a hedge around people. I believe God can do whatever he wants to do. And so therefore, as I deal and have to deal with decisions, I don't deny science, but I reject any science that denies God.
Amen.
And so therefore, God's got to be taken into the process. And I'm glad that our forefathers saw the wisdom in this country and the necessity for saved people gathering themselves together in the house of God, that they implemented an amendment that Congress shall make no law prohibiting such a thing.
Amen.
And especially someone that sits in an office just can't pull it out of their head and say, I don't want you to meet no more. And that's happening all over land. It's time for some of the judges that's doing their job to get stand up and say, you're way out of bounds with what you're doing.
Amen.
And you need to back off.
Amen.
That's not what this country was established to do. Now, I've said all that. Now I'm going to preach a message on Thanksgiving, okay? Okay. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms chapter 117. Keep your Bibles open. I want to take you several places. Look in verse number 12, and I'm going to preach from this verse. What? 116. What'd I say? I was just testing you, okay? Just testing you. I was just seeing if everybody's following me in the Bible, okay? Sounds good anyway, doesn't it? Chapter 116, verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his what?
Benefits
toward me. You know what benefits means? Benefits means the dealings that God has with you. Now, Brother Eric brought this out in Sunday school. All good gifts, all perfect gifts, comes down from above. The Father of lights sends them to us. Everything everybody's got has been given that's good has been given by God. By the way, rain is sent from God from heaven. It rains on the just and the unjust. Even people that's not saved, God's been good to. The Bible says in Romans 2:4 that the goodness of God worketh repentance. In other words, it brings us to repentance. When you realize how good God's been to you, that the goodness of God ought to bring you to his side and might make you love him when you see how much he loved you. Amen? And so, everything we have in benefits, everything we have in his dealings with us, we need to be thankful. So David asked, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. And by the way, if you're not saved, you've not begun to show God's appreciation for anything that you have. The greatest gift that he gave you was his son.
Amen.
And so if you want to be in favor with God, you have to receive Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at verse 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of what?
Thanksgiving.
And will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Can I say the Lord's house is very important to everybody? Now turn, if you would, back in Psalms chapter 103. Again, keep your Bible open. We're going to go. Psalms 103, look, if you would, in verse number 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Forget not all his what? The word forget means that you have a lapse of memory. And that lapse of memory causes you to wander and drift away from God. When you quit thinking about the benefits that God has given you, then you begin to wander away from God. The word thankful. Thanks comes 21 times in the Bible. Thank, 26 times. Thankful, 3 times. Thanksgiving, 27 times. The Bible tells us that we are to be thankful in all things. We are to give him thanksgiving in everything. It is not a suggestion. It is not an option. It is a command of God. God wants his people to be thankful for the benefits that he has given you. Look, if you would, in Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Verse number 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with what? Even the God of our salvation. Slot. Do you realize that daily the God of lights, the Father of lights from heaven above, gives you things? As Brother Eric pointed out, the very breath you breathe, every heartbeat you have, everything that you possess, he's given you. Your children, he's given you. Your family, he's given you. Everything you have has been from God above. And so therefore, daily he loadeth us with benefits. And so therefore, we need to realize the need of having thanksgiving. Now let me say this. The Bible forewarns in the latter days, perilous times will come, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, people will be unthankful. In Romans chapter 1, when the Bible records how they moved away from God and they forgot God, it's because they were not thankful. And so therefore, when you are not thankful and you do not remember his benefits, you have a lapse of memory and it causes you to wander away from God. In our society today, because of the last few administrations, we have built an idea of entitlements. And entitlements, we are training our children to think that everybody owes them something. And we are trying to destroy our country by making people rely upon the government for everything free. Amen. That will destroy this country.
Right.
And so therefore, we've got to work and learn to work. And so we need to break this idea that you are owed something. And you need to remember that God has been better to you than you deserve. He's been good to each of us. Let me give you a couple of verses, and then I'm going to get into a message real quick, if you would. Follow with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Keep your finger there in Psalms. We're coming back to Psalms. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Verse number 11, being enriched in what? Everything to all bountifulness, which causes us, or causes through us what? To who? You know why everybody around the world wants to come to America? Because God has been so good to America. We are so bountifully blessed. And we sit and we complain about things that the world, many people in the world, would die to have. Why are they willing to die and risk their lives to come here? Because God has so blessed us. So the first thing I want us to realize is this. We need to have a realization of thanksgiving to God. Because he has been good to us. And therefore we owe it to him. And Paul reminds us that we have been enriched in everything to all bountifulness. In other words, every one of us has much more than we really deserve. And if we went just by what we needed in life, how much could we give, throw away, and still survive? Second of all, notice if you would in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse number 18. Again, notice this is not an option, it's command. In what?
Everything.
Hey, what does everything mean? It means everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the what? Will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who?
You.
Concerning you. In other words, we have to understand that God expects from his people, somebody said, how can I do the will of God? Be thankful for everything you have. Give praise to God for what you have. You say, well, I don't have as much as he does. Well, how about the fact you have much more than he does? Maybe God couldn't trust you with everything over there. And somebody said, why can't we all be rich? Jesus said, how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of God? Oh, so there'll be some get there, but there'll be many that won't. They'll make the love of money their God. And so therefore, listen, maybe it's in our best interest sometimes that we don't have more than what we got. But notice if you would as well, in the book of Psalms. Go back to Psalms. We'll be there the rest of the time. In Psalms, chapter number 69. If you kept your finger right where we were at. Notice if you would in verse number 30. The Bible says, I will praise the name of God with a song. And I will magnify. By the way, the word magnify is you make him large. You make him big. How do you make somebody big? By bragging on them. You magnify them. You tell people how good God is. How great God is. And by the way, the scripture is evident. God is good. God is great. And greatly to be praised. Look if you would in Psalms chapter 69. And again, notice if you would in verse number 30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with what? How do you magnify, make God bigger than he is? Thank him. Give thanks unto God. Praise his holy name. Tell him how much you love him for what he's done for you. Tell other people how good God is. Listen, you know what's turned so many people off on Christians? Oh, poor me. Oh, it's so bad. I've got it so bad. Let people magnify how you, I'm blessed beyond my what I deserve. God's been so good to me. I just want to lift his name up. Can you imagine how much that would draw people in? Rather than saying, well, old sister so-and-so or old brother so-and-so down at church, I can't stand that. They just do that. I just don't like what they wear. I don't like. Really? What do you expect to draw in that way? What you need to do is this. God said, magnify me with thanksgiving. Look on. Psalms 95. By the way, you know how our governor and all the other governors of all the 50 states could have honored God this week? Everybody just stop and say, listen, I want everybody who knows God to go to the house of God and fall upon your face and cry out to God for our land and our country. Wouldn't that have been great? You know, I believe there was a time in American history where people probably would have done something like that. And it's sad that we've gotten to a place where people don't even know God. Amen. Look if you would in chapter 95. Notice if you would in verse number 2. Let us come before his presence, talking about God with what? Thanksgiving, make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Somebody said, we've come to worship God. Not without thanksgiving, you didn't. God don't want your worship if you're not thankful for what he's done to you. And so therefore, he said, if you're going to come into his presence, you better come into his presence with thanksgiving. You know, I find myself when I want to pray with God, the first thing I do is I do two things. When I really want to get business with God, God, forgive me. Lord, I want to thank you. I find those two things on my heart. Now, look if you would, in Psalms 100. And by the way, Psalms 91 through 100 is Psalms that is representing Jesus when he sits on his throne and reigns in the land. And therefore, they're all full of joyful words and joyful things unto the Lord. But notice if you would, in Psalms 100, look at verse 4. Enter into his gates, God's gates, with what?
Thanksgiving,
and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You say, preacher, I want to pray. I want my prayers heard from God. Then he wants to hear some thanksgiving from you. You don't think so? You say, oh, that's all Old Testament. Keep your finger there just a moment. I told you I won't take you one place, and I'll come back to the book of Psalms. I just saw this, and I'm just going to throw it in there while I'm here. Look in Philippians chapter number 4. Very familiar verse, but I want you to notice something. The Bible says in verse number 6 of chapter 4, be careful for nothing. The word careful means be anxious. For nothing, but in what?
Everything.
What does everything mean? Everything. By prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did you know that being thankful unto God, that it brings a peace in your heart? Did you know that being thankful to God brings a peace in your mind? Did you know that being thankful to God makes you content? Where you're not always wanting more? And you're content? Look if you would again in your Bibles, back in the book of Psalms. Notice if you would in chapter 26 of Psalms. In chapter 26 of Psalms, notice you would in verse number 7. That I may publish with the what? Voice of what? And tell of all thy wondrous works. With the voice of thanksgiving. You know what that means? That means you tell everybody how thankful you are for what God's done for you. Do you do that? Is it something where we just sit and say, oh my, oh me? Or is it something that we want people to know, hey, boy, God is good. We sing that little song in chapel, some, God is so good. God is so good. Boy, he is good. Amen. He needs to be published with our voice. Amen. You say, well, you don't sing very well. Well, you stand up and sing it. Amen? It's okay. Won't bother me at all. Look here. Go with me, if you would, again, in Psalms chapter number 50. In Psalms 50. Notice, if you would, in verse number 14. Offer unto God what? And pay thy vows unto the Most High. Look, if you would, in Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Notice, if you would, in verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of what? Thanksgiving, and declare his works with what? Rejoicing. And again, go back where we started in Psalms 116. And notice, if you would, in verse number 17. I will offer thee the sacrifice of what? And will call thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Now, I said all that to say this. I want to share some things that I'm thankful for. And I hope that some of these things you can be thankful for too. Number one, I'm thankful for the gift of God. Amen. The bread that came down from heaven. Amen. Where would we be if God didn't so love the world that he gave his only begotten son? We didn't deserve it while we were yet sinners. Christ loved us enough to be willing to die for us. And God loved us enough to send his son and let his son go through what his son went through down here upon this earth. So first of all, I want to say this. We, his people, we ought to be thankful for the Son of God, the gift of God, the salvation. Second of all, I want to be thankful that God brought me to a place where I could hear the gospel and he saved my soul. I'm thankful I can go back to a time and place when the Holy Spirit of God drew me, I heard the Lord speak to my heart, and I called upon the name of the Lord to save me. I trusted in him with my heart, and he saved my soul. I'm thankful that I have that place in my life. I don't know what tomorrow may hold, but I do know when I prepared for the tomorrow. And I can't take you to time and place. We sing that song sometimes around here. I can take you to the place and I can tell you the time. I'm glad I can do that. Amen. I may not have the exact hour or something, but I remember the Sunday night when it happened. Amen. Number three, I'm glad and I'm thankful to God. My salvation is eternal. Amen. Hear that? I'm not ashamed of that. It rests in him, not in me. And I'm so thankful it does. Because if it rested in me, I would have lost it a long time ago. And I thank God that he made a salvation that is built in him. I'm kept by the power of God. I am in Christ Jesus and he is in me. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, till I get my redeemed body. I'm so glad I have an eternal life. Now, some people said, well, preacher, our denomination don't believe that. It doesn't bother me whether you believe it or not. Jesus said, if you are his, you have eternal life. Amen. Somebody said, what does eternal life mean? Eternal life. Amen. Everlasting life. Amen. I bet I could ask one of these little five-year-olds to stand up, what does everlasting mean? They'll probably tell you everlasting. So it shouldn't be that difficult to say. Their problem is not in the terminology. Their problem is understanding that salvation is not of them, it is of the Lord. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Number three, I am so thankful to God that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. I don't care who you are. There's things in my life, and I've shared them with some of you. There's things in my life that I am really ashamed of. But I'm thankful that where sin abounded, and definitely abounded, I'm glad grace much more abounded. I remember the other day when, Eric, you gave your testimony up here about being addicted to drugs and so forth. And I'm glad that grace abounded much more than sin did, amen? How that God can, somebody say, preacher, what's the hope? The only hope for this world is Jesus. Somebody said, well, you don't know what they've done. No, but I'll tell you what, God does. And there's where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And I am so thankful to my Heavenly Father that he made it such a way. Not only that, I'm also thankful that his mercies comes daily. And his mercy endureth forever. Somebody said, what's the difference between mercy and grace? Grace is God gives you something you don't deserve. Mercy is he don't give you what you do deserve. Amen? Every day I know what I deserve. I'm glad God don't give it to me. Somebody said, I just want God to be just with me. Not me, not without a little mercy and grace, I don't. Amen? That's the craziest thing you ever say. Amen? You say, why you say that? Because I know me. Amen. Knowing that, I am glad. My world is no longer this home. This is not my home. I have a home in heaven. I'm glad that as I travel here, I'm glad that my whole eternal thought does not have to be in my life on this earth. I'm glad I'm just passing through. And I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. And thank God when we all get there, nobody want to come back. Amen. Nobody. Not only that, but also I thank God for his benefits. Think about this. His food. I mean, we had a funeral for Tom Turkey yesterday at the house. And we had more food. It was unreal. I told him, I said, his last words were gobble, gobble, and that's what we're going to do with his food. Amen, just gobble. But the point being is this. I was thinking yesterday, looking at all that food. There's some people in the world has never seen what we got to see yesterday. It was amazing. Our shelter, Brother Jim, our homes, our transportation. Walk out there in the parking lot and look around. Our transportation, our clothing, everything, our health. How good has God been? How many benefits has he loaded you with each and every day? Knowing that, I also put being born in America. Amen. I want to thank God for that. Even though I don't like some things happening in America, I thank God I was born here. Knowing that, the health and strength. As I mentioned some earlier that we want to pray for. Pray for their health to be able to restore. I also want to thank God for family and friends. You know, Peter, one time he asked Jesus, he said, what do we get? We've forsaken all and followed you. He said, you're going to have 100-fold, not only in the life to come, but in this life here. Look what a family God's give. I go places all over the place and I find family that I've got. Not all physical family, but spiritual family. I can go and preach a place I've never been before and just feel like a brother in Christ with them. And just feel right at home. Then I've been in some places where I didn't even feel any kinship at all. Amen. Now, I also want to thank God. I want to close by saying this. I want to thank God for our church here. I know there's a lot of good churches. But I want to thank God for you. Couple reasons. I believe many of you are saved people. I see a lot of sheep and I don't see goats butting all the time. I've had some goats come. Goats come from other churches and they come in here and they want to butt around all the sheep. I just soon see them leave as I had when they come. Somebody said, well, they've got a little money. Take the money somewhere else and butt some sheep. Somebody say, they got some influence. Take it somewhere else. Listen, just because you come in and you sit and you say, look who I am, look what I am. You're a sheep just like everybody else. And if you want to butt everything going on, it's just like these people moving to America. Some of these congresswomen that calls themselves the Fantastic Four or whatever they call them. They hate America. Well, why don't they just go back to the country where they came from? Amen? And listen, this is a house of God. Wolves. I had some wolves come through. But I don't want them to stay very long, and I sure try to encourage them to go somewhere else. And I thank God for a church that every time I turn around, there's not an argument. There's not fussing and fighting. I'm not having to sit in counsel between two people, two different families. I'm glad that we've got people that can love each other and get along. I'm thankful to God because we've got a church that looks at missions and is willing to send missionaries and support missionaries. You know, not only on the wall back there, you see the missions and the missionaries out there, and they'll come by the church occasionally and you'll meet them. But, you know, just the other day when I asked if anybody wanted to help support that orphanage for Christmas, I got such a large reply. And it was amazing. And it's just like with the offering. Right now, we're doing virtual offerings where you set a plate back both places. And it's just up to you if you want to put anything in. I don't know who puts in what. I never ask nobody no questions. And you know something? It's amazing how many of you have just been faithful. I told Brother Greg, since this pandemic, we went into this pandemic, our church was hitting at the lowest level that we'd ever hit the week before the pandemic. And somebody said, well, what will happen if we're not allowed to have church and all this stuff? And we're sitting here now being blessed beyond a measure. And it's amazing how God has moved in all this. But you know why? Because of your faithfulness. If you notice this, I never get up. Number one, I don't ask, and I never get up, and I say, I want to recognize this person over here. They gave so-and-so to the church last week. Number one, I don't know what you give, and I don't want to know. And if you're giving it to be recognized, you maybe want to move on down the road. You give it to the Lord. He says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. He said, then he can take note of it, and he can give you something in heaven, lay you up treasures in heaven. But I'm glad that we have a church. No big I's and little U's. Just a church that is willing to give and love. Not only that, but also I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I had someone tell me the other day that their church was running about 6 people on Wednesday night service. And I've had several churches say, we closed down Sunday and Wednesday night service. And I thank God that I can come Sunday night and Wednesday night and I can see such a large group of people always here. And I thank God for that. And some people won't be able to understand this. Before I close, I want to say this about the church. I'm glad that I have a church that understands and loves the King James Bible. Now, I'm glad I'm not having a battle every time I turn around. Amen. And by the way, somebody said, well, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Amen. Read the difference in the different manuscripts in which they came from. Amen. And by the way, there's passages completely omitted. There's other passages that cannot mean the same. And listen, if something's not the same, it can't be the same. Amen. If it's different, it's not the same. Right. And therefore, you say, well, how do I know? Then study it. And you know what I blame? I blame pastors for not studying it and teaching and teaching the people. But I thank God that we have it. And last but not least, I want to say this. I said it in one way, but I want to say it another way. I thank God for a church that loves, that has love. Paul said in chapter 13, you can have all the boasting, all the spiritual gifts everybody wants to boast about. You can have all these things you want to have. But without charity, it's nothing but tinkling cymbals. It means nothing. Charity, put on charity above all things. Brotherly love. The Bible says charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Somebody said, well, if they only knew me, charity. You know, Brother Martin and I go back how many years? He says 40, I say about 43. Okay. Pretty close. And look here. I've seen Martin 43 years. You probably did something wrong along the way, didn't you? Once or twice. And I did too. And we know each other pretty well. But charity makes me love him. And it makes him love me. That's what charity does. And I'm glad when preachers come through here, they tell me one thing. They don't even know you all. And I'll guarantee you that probably 90%, if not more, says, "Preacher, you got a lot of love in your church." And so, you know, when we're preaching, they love the word. They love each other. I mean, sometimes I get through preaching, I'm ready to go home and get my feet up. Everybody just sitting around talking, loving each other. Sometimes I say, "Y'all lock up when you leave. I'm gone. But the point being is, that doesn't offend me. That doesn't bother me at all. I'm glad to see it. And I'll close with this. Had someone tell me the other day, they was talking about the church. They said, "Well, we love the pastor, but we don't like each other." I thought, what a shame. What a shame. Amen. So this week, be thankful for your benefits unto God. Let's stand. Maybe you're hearing God has spoke to your heart. Maybe you just need to bow your head back where you're at and just say, "Lord, forgive me if I have failed to be thankful. Forgive me if I murmur," as Brother Eric was bringing out. "If I've been a murmurer and don't remember how good you've been to me." And how many of us just need to stop for a few minutes and just thank God? I look back over the year and I say, "Oh, this year has been tough in some sense, but it's been wonderful in some ways. I've seen some things happen that was answered prayers. And I thank God for that." Amen. Let's sing, Brother Jesse.
Page 303.
303.